May 6, 2020, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. First Wednesday of May. And I think it's getting up to 80 degrees in Pedro here, but it's quitting quarantino mode. So I'm hunkered down. Brother Matt, still at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point about 3 miles south. I'm not totally man alone, though. Through the wonders of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. Colin, you're up in the East Bay, right?
Yep, in Oakland.
Welcome aboard, Colin, really. You know, we started the show off with the promise, something like John Coltrane, 1963, actually October 25. And then the Bear Baiters, what are your projects with CGILA? Well, you know, who turned me on to you, Colin, is Tom Herman in Cleveland. Me and D. Boone, Georgia, I mean, we really looked up to those guys, and especially Tom. D. Boone was very influenced by Tom's. So when he mentioned you, I said, sure, man, any friend of yours, I want to check out and then listen to the music. I got to say, I'm kind of new. And that's why I want to go over your journey through music so I can learn about you. What's your earliest musical memories?
Probably my dad playing Doc Watson and a couple other bluegrass bands Sunday mornings, you know, making pancakes, usual kind of dad stuff.
What do they call it? Flat top picker or something.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean,
you know, we had a store, we still do, in Santa Monica, or like we like to say S&M, called McCabe's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Famous.
He was big time in those days. Minutemen got to jam with Charlie Hayden there once. I mean, they were all kinds of music, but he was one of the patron saints, like that kind of headed off that scene. Was first I should ask you, where'd you grow up? What town?
I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. Okay. Not a Mormon, to answer your next question.
Well, I was going to ask that, but I was going to ask, what I was going to ask you is, where's the other Salt Lake City?
I don't know if there is one. Probably in the Salt Lake.
No, because you said Salt Lake City, Utah, so I'm thinking, where's the other one?
Yeah, it's in Prague. It's a neighborhood now.
You know, I play there every tour. And people ask that, you know, why? I say, look at a fucking map. You know, it's kind of an oasis.
Yep.
You know, especially us out in the West Coast here, we got to make the big loop, you know. The same thing with Boise. Why are you always playing Boise? Why? I say, look at a fucking map. So, okay.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you guys played there. The Minutemen played there when I was a kid, so I missed seeing you guys.
Yeah, we played there a few times. Like I said, almost every tour. The first time was with Black Flag, I think, on a fairgrounds. And then the next time was downtown in a storefront with two of the guys who ended up being in Billy's, after the Descendants, well, they're called Descendants again. But they were called All for a while. It was Stefan and Carl. They were Mascara Boys or something.
Yeah. We actually got All to play in our, or they were Descendants then still, I think, but we got them to play in our high school gym. Like, we conned the vice principal into letting us have a band of Californians who are very nice young men come play at the gym.
Right.
Because their venue got shut down.
Okay.
And that's part of why I didn't graduate high school.
They were Redondo Beach guys, but, you know, Milo went to college and Frank left the band, so that's where Carl and Stefan came in. They had a bunch of guest singers. And then, yeah, Milo comes back. Frank unfortunately passed away. But that's bitching to your school to do that.
They weren't happy about it.
Do more like that. Okay, the pad you grew up in, your pop, he likes this music. Is there instruments in the pad?
Yeah, when my parents got divorced, my mom left me a classical guitar, which, you know, I was five, so I couldn't, it was an adult-sized guitar, so I couldn't really play it. But a few years later, my sister said she wanted to play piano. And so my dad, being a good divorced dad, just bought an upright piano, which I think she played for a year, maybe two.
What about you? Did you take lessons or just pound on it? Or
I just did the pounding.
Okay. No, because some people have been on the show and they have experiences with piano. It's usually the teachers. Sometimes it's really negative, so maybe you escaped all that shit. What about school? Were you in the band or the choir, marching band, jazz band?
No, I was out back smoking pot.
Yeah, okay. Well, did your school have it? Because, you know, a lot of schools got rid of the music shit.
You know, actually, this is true. Through elementary school, they taught singing in school. So, you know, this is like the 80s, and the Mormons are really big on having good singing in church. So having music classes was a big thing there.
Yeah.
So they did teach singing, but I was never any good at it, and you know, didn't necessarily like the choices of song, so.
But still, it was music. And, yep. It's, I think, kind of important on your journey. You got you started without knowing. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
The first record I ever got was, like, Greatest Hits of America. Because I went into Cactus Records in Bozeman, Montana, where my mom lived, and tried to find a Beatles record that my stepdad didn't own. And they didn't have any, and the guy behind the counter told me America was basically the same. I disagreed.
Oh, the band called America.
Yeah, yeah.
They were actually, yeah. I think, their pops were servicemen and stationed in England.
Yes, okay.
And makes one sense. Reason why, what used to bug me about them, now I'm no fucking expert on anything, but man, did they kind of rip off Neil Young.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah,
that's okay. That's okay. Everybody does. In fact, you can write a very original novel and not invent one word.
Yep.
In fact, it makes it kind of easier to read. You know, Finnegan's Wake. I was talking about somebody. His, I think maybe Italia, the last edition. But what is originality? You know what I mean? It's a slippery slope. You know. We all, as bass guitar guys, all owe Mr. James Jamerson a lot.
Yeah.
So that nylon string guitar, it's waiting for you at home, huh?
Oh, it probably ended up in a garage sale at some point.
But you never ended up playing it or taking lessons?
No, actually, I did because my stepdad up in Montana was a classical guitarist, and he was studying with Chris Parkening, who's this.
Oh yeah, really, I know about him.
Yeah, he's really intense. And as an 8-year-old, they tried to like get me into playing classical guitar, and that kind of put me off of playing guitar.
Okay, so this is the nylon string acoustic guitar in Montana. I played Montana State's there.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a Sundown or some kind of club. I played there a few times.
Missoula's a great town.
Missoula's the other one. That's the University of Montana.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Both are good places. So on your visits there, they try to get you to learn. Yeah, man, it's really exact about that stuff, how you hold your leg up, right? They got a little holder for one foot, and the left hand, you got to have the thumb behind the neck, not on top.
I appreciate that stuff now, but I'm so lazy that, like, yeah. I couldn't do it now, and I really couldn't do it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. I also got, like, a chord book of Beatles songs.
Yeah.
So that was a lot easier. That I could kind of play, and, you know, it sounded like the song that I heard, so.
Well, probably played to the records, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how me and Dee Boone learned. What was the first gig you went and saw?
Men at Work. And opening for them was the Plimsolls.
Yeah. Wow, and that used to be Peter from the Nerves.
Yep, and I remember them as being a hell of a lot better.
You mean the opening act you like better?
Oh, yeah, blew them off the stage. They had some life.
Yeah, and I think the headliners, their big song they got sued for, they never wrote it. I mean, this is many years later and stuff.
I believe that.
Yeah, my heart really bleeds for the new wave, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to play something here, the clench and blow method from the Bear Baiters.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Yeah. The Bear Baiters with the clench and blow method. I got to get more acquainted with that. Colin Frangos, this is you, man alone, I guess. Kai Rizdo. Oh, yeah, these are these bumpers you came up with. Oh, well, imaginary bumpers for NPR. I got a buddy in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He told me that was the whole, you know this band Black Ma Super Rainbow? He said that was the whole inspiration, was the little bumper shit in between the stories on NPR.
That's hilarious. No, I just named those. I mean, I named them. Those are scores for films.
Okay.
And I just called them NPR bumper music because I thought it was funny to have, you know, songs about Ira Glass wearing a necklace of human ears. And since it's instrumental, I can make the title whatever I want. So.
Yeah, there was a guy here who wore ears in Vietnam.
Yep.
And Pedro, he was out of his mind. Yeah, the war's not kind to him. Well, it's not kind to anybody.
Yep.
I'm a positive. This is something I got from you. With Tom Herman and Lenny Bove. Now, these are the two guys from Tripod Jimmy.
Yep.
While I wasn't looking. And then the Loyalists, which is another one of your projects. Chalk Face. Yannick South, brand new. Out of Italy. With On. A Bilge Pump out of Leeds in England. Storm in a Teardrop. Sabbath from Ore Extract out of Montreal. No, it isn't. I think. What's the town on the other side of Ottawa? Hull? Maybe. You know, there's a river there. There's a French part of town, and it's like the federal capital.
I played there once
with a band called Porcelain Forehead. And they were all younger people on L, tripping balls. But, you know, it was our first time there. They were good guys, good cats. Bear Baiters, finally, Revolution winner. So, what about the thing after school in the basement or the bedroom or the garage? What, those kind of bands?
Yeah, I just could never, you know, I'm super lazy, and I could never, like, play well enough to get a band together that worked. The only band I had in high school, like, maybe rehearsed for a month, and we were set up just to play one show. We were going to play the yearbook assembly that everyone had to attend at the end of our senior year.
Yeah.
And we played, like, one or two Bauhaus songs and then a really noisy original just because we wanted to be jerks, and we were.
Yeah. What was that, the name of the band?
Oh, we didn't even have a name.
Okay. The Jerks.
Would have worked.
Yeah, but still, you got to play in front of people. What was that like? That was your first time, right?
Yeah, I was kind of really angry at just being in high school, and so it was kind of, I wasn't really nervous. I was really hoping for a negative reaction, so, you know, and I got it, which was great, I guess.
What about your fellow band members? What kind of reaction you get out of them?
They were kind of, I mean, one of them was a real serious bluegrass banjo player who played guitar and was just a really good friend, so he kind of did it because I encouraged him. Yeah.
Bauhaus on the banjo.
Yeah. But, and the other guys are kind of just, you know, normal musicians just looking to screw around, and it was an excuse, and there was a show already lined up, so whatever we did, it was kind of worth it for them.
You know, in high school, I didn't know normal musicians. I didn't know shit. The best guy in Pedro was the best guy who could play Black Dog.
Right.
I think I told Carl that. No, nobody wrote their own fucking songs. Kind of did what you did, you know, you just copied, and it kind of was like building models. So well, after, well, you said you didn't finish high school, but music-wise, what'd you do after high school?
I went away. I mean, it was the 80s, so I finished enough of high school that no one, like, I got accepted to college, and the fact that the vice principal of the school was holding up my transcripts didn't matter because I'd already been accepted somewhere. So I went off to upstate New York to go to college and was there for a year, you know, couldn't really get a band going there either, but I was good with recording equipment, so I helped record friends' bands.
Ah, okay. Yeah, learn it from the other side.
Yep, four-track.
And you know, that probably came in big time later.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I try to tell people who play music, there's not such a divide line now. If you're getting into, like, yeah, drumming or bass, or you better get into recording, too, because you can do this shit.
Yeah.
The technology's more it's not such a bad fucking thing, in a way. Even Minutemen, we never touched the knobs, you know, Ethan, James, or Spot, we were just so scared. But nowadays, I say, you know, get wet.
Jump in. Tape-Op has been really big on encouraging that.
That's a great magazine. Tape-Op, people.
That whole four-track movement, kind of when I was
Joel Hamilton,
in high school.
One of the editors runs a website. He's Tony Mamone's partner at Studio G in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour, May 6, 2020 edition. Hold tight for hour two. May 6, 2020 is the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
time tonight. This was my first New Year's dance. You were beautiful and the band was alright. Shame about your curfew. Would've liked to have the chance just to kiss you into 1941. Then you kissed me, whispering it's time, and I stood stunned. Don't go, don't go, don't go. I know. Flowers thrown round the room. I knew that marrying you meant America too. But Uncle Sam showed us plan one crummy honeymoon. And then boom went the bandstand and the warships on the pier. As you burrowed in my peacoat and you choked beneath their cheers. Don't go. That kiss at your door, at those giddy newlyweds, and through the weeping and war, at every monumental moment, at all the best of my life, from your doorstep I had known it, you are the rest of my life. Hardly noticed nurses and these damn machines. At least suppose that experts don't know you like I do. They don't know that young girl's stubbornness, the statue of a mule. They know nothing of my woman in the whirlwind keeping cool. We both know what's coming's coming, honey, humor and old.
Watt for Pedro Show. Second hour started off with Bear Baiters. Tales in the Sky / Fighting Evil, but it might be one Tales in the Sky Fighting Evil now because of Watt's fuck up. Timothy Erie with Ritual Number 6 after that. Colin Frangos again with this movie soundtrack, but, you know, these guys, these names, people, and the song titles of these bumper-inspired things, they're actual people on the NPRs, because Terry Gross has been on there for years, and Kai Rizdahl, I think, is like the financial guy, or something. Peter Seagal, yeah, okay, Peter Seagal, thrill killer. After that DMF from Orange County here, it's a little south of Pedro, and east, actually. Talking. Nicholas Mares, Bold Rose, Corey Brannon, Don't Go, and finally Ride the Trash Heap of Sound by the Loyalists. So you're in upstate. It's not total loss of time and experience, though, because you're learning how to record. Where do you go from upstate New York?
Moved with my girlfriend to San Francisco. That lasted until a little after we got to San Francisco. And then I ended up in Chicago for a while, which was, you know, in the early 90s, there was a lot going on.
Right, a lot of music.
Yep.
So what'd you do? Well, you said it was hard to find a band in Utah, hard a band to find in New York, but Illinois.
Yeah, I played a little bit with people when I was there, but mostly, you know, I was there going to art school. And so I did posters for the Empty Bottle, one of the clubs there.
Sure, sure, good club.
And, so I, like, spent all my time, like, working on posters for shows. So I'd do one or two a week of these nice big screen-printed posters and kind of got involved with the music community there that way, but didn't really start any bands until I got out here.
So when you're talking art school, you draw, you paint.
Yeah, I was doing mostly printmaking.
Okay.
So I'm turning in rock posters for assignments because that was what I was spending all my time on.
But still, it's a form of expression. Yeah, and you're part of the scene, the movement.
Yeah.
Those are like Jesus Lizard days and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, actually, like, shortly after I moved there, they said they wouldn't ever play Chicago again. So, because they had, you know, they just kept getting shit from the local clubs. And it's like, you know, the local band is never as popular as they are, like, when they're on the road. You know, if you get to see Jesus Lizard once a year, it's amazing. But if it's the hometown, everyone's like, whatever, we'll just see them next time they play, even though they didn't play Chicago much.
They're not appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, Minutemen and Peter were like that. Now, you know, they got us painted on one of the bulkheads at the Trader Joe.
Nice.
I guess. It was trippy when I saw that. Okay, so you don't really start making music, though, in Chicago. You go back west again.
Yeah, so at some point, you know, I really needed to be in a band, and I had a really good friend of mine who was one of the most creative people I've ever known, and I just kind of was like, okay, I'm going to play guitar, you just say whatever crazy shit you want, and we'll make it into music. And that band was called the Agronauts. It was a lot of fun. And eventually, after that, started a band called Ovipositor, which is the band that that Tom Herman thing is from.
Yeah.
And, you know, that band went for probably 7 years or so.
Did you guys record?
Yeah, we put out, I don't know, four records.
Well, what I'm asking is, were you the guy who recorded them?
I did a lot of it, but it's really nice if you're, like, trying to make a serious record to have someone else sitting behind the desk.
Okay.
Because you can just play and not have to think about, you know, watching for clipping or if one of your cheap-ass mics is dying and you don't notice it.
Or is it muted?
Yeah, all that stuff that happens to everyone, but if there's someone paying attention, they fix it. So this guy, Eli Cruz, who's a friend of Tony's out in Brooklyn now, I think they're in the same building.
Whoa.
But he was out here for a long time at this place called New Improved.
Okay.
So we recorded with him for three albums of stuff, and then the one before I just recorded.
Did you guys tour?
Off the coast.
I-5 tour?
Yeah.
US 101 tour?
Yeah, yeah. So, pretty much, that band didn't know anyone in L.A., but we knew people in Portland and Seattle, so we'd go up that way.
Yeah. And that's your first touring, right?
Yep.
And then I guess the band goes its way. I mean, what's the next one? Is the Loyalists next?
That's yeah. So like when that band blew up,
well, hold on. I want to play some Loyalists for people first. Okay. This is a tune about those times because it's called San Francisco.
We'll be right back.
sinner. Little sinner. Little sinner. I don't know what it is to go home. Love crawled in, it was all choked up. Strapped to the back of a flatbed truck. Halter top, pepper eyes. Number nine hiding under the bed and crying. Didn't know so many words. All I ever said was, hot dog, daddy. Hot dog, daddy. Hot dog, daddy. Hot. Groovy student nurse. All wrapped around the pizza boy. Shy little smile. Burning down the rack stand. Cattle cars and single bars is all the same to me. Noses and rectums throughout eternity. Yes, did I?
Oh, boy. second floor, I can't take it no more. I walk through the door, I know what's in store. I'm gonna fly.
Walk for Pedro show. We're talking about Ted Falcone off air, people, and we're both amazed by that man. And he should have maybe been mixed a little louder. But I remember kids at the gigs, you got to play faster. Bullshit. You play whatever you want. It's called anarchy, people. Okay. San Francisco from the Loyalists. Trippy name. Who came up with that name?
The Loyalists? Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
You
had that kind of set of mind at the time?
Nah, because, like, a loyalist, if you think about it, is people who are on the wrong side of history, but who are really passionate about what they believe.
That's
right?
Like, so, in this country, right, the loyalists were behind the king.
Yeah. Yep, and in Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Actually, me and D. Boone, I remember we tripped out. We saw a guy with a three-corner hat on something called the Loyalist Parkway. But this was in Canada. We didn't understand this. And then we found out later a lot of people had to go north because they got harassed out of, when the war was over.
Yeah.
Didn't know about that. Didn't know about really what the War of 1812 was about either till I learned from some Canadian brothers. That's true. Mike Rignett after that with Guitar Shepherd Tone. That's a title. Reverend Fred Lane, Little Sinner. He's back in action. First gig in 39 years, I think.
Yeah.
He's back in action. Andre V out of Berlin with Padmehum, a Chinese herbal medicine, nearly halfway down. I think they're from the Val here. Scott and Burham with Swift Drift, and then the Loyalists with the Momo. So the Loyalists, in a way, you're like, yeah, I remember D. Boone, he liked that name. Actually, I had two words, Minute Men. I was making fun of arena rock.
Right.
But he said, look, there's a Uyoku, a right wing, they're appropriating patriotic symbols and stuff. We should dilute that by calling ourselves the same thing. I said, okay. Yeah, so Minute, English is fucking hard. It's hard to know how to pronounce it. Look at the past tense of read. It's spelled the same fucking way. How do you know how to say red? And how do you know it's not a color, we're cobbled together. So who's part of the Loyalists?
Loyalists was me. Like, after Ovipositor, I decided I was going to learn to play cello. And so I did, and I went from being a bad guitarist to being a bad cellist. And I pulled my buddy Andre in, and he's this great guitarist, and made him listen to demos and kind of obliged him to be in the band. And then this other band called The Blind Shake, who are from Minneapolis, and they were just an incredible band. When they came out here, I made a little documentary about them playing with Michael Yonkers. They came out here, and their drummer, who is a monster, introduced me to a guy who he said was his favorite drummer. So, of course, I'm going to start a band with that guy, and his name's Chad. And Chad is actually the best guitarist in the group, so we make sure he only plays drums. And then Max Sidman is the bass player, and he'd been in Ovipositor before, and he's just the super solid bass player. Like, you can build any song you want around Max playing, because he's just there. You can count on him to have a song pinned down all the time. So
that's what we're for, the politics of bass is we look good making you guys look good.
Yep.
We're at the end of hour two. Got to hold for the next little chunk there, Colin. May 6, 2020. Hold tight for hour three. May 6, 2020. It's the third hour of the Walt from Pedro show.
Thank you. is the only thing that is certain. Will it ever happen the same again? And if this is so, does it mean it's all been done before? Is it kind of like the pieces that always been there? For we don't truly believe everything we do. There's no excuse for us to get by anymore. So full speed ahead, don't you keep forgetting what you started. Remember what you said. Because today is to look forward to, and not tomorrow. For we must truly believe everything we do. There's no excuse that can get by anymore.
A dance or die. Thank you. know a place where the lamplight chases the light far away, far away. And in my way I can't be trusted to tease the crystal vein. Won't you be my baby through the sun?
Live from Pedro Show. Ira Glass, can you hear your thoughts through the necklace of ears he wears around his neck? Your next intern. Colin Fragos. Everything you know from Kangaroo Court, Wasted Space, they share a crane, both these things. Disco Slovakian, Craig Bell, Cleveland Cat, right, with the rocket from the tomb.
Yep.
The Room in My Head, he's in Indiana these days. Black Moon Tape, Factories Part 1, Imad Wasif, Throw the Sun Away, sorry, Zigzags with Groth. Groth. Yeah, these guys, I remember they. Is it heavy metal punk or punk heavy metal or punk metal? I said, man, don't worry. And then on the day that Philip Seymour Hoffman died, the Loyalists. So the Bear Baiters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do they. Do some of those guys come out of Loyalists?
No, Bear Baiters is really just me and a guitarist named Chris. And after the Loyalists, you know, I kind of decided I couldn't do that band anymore because we weren't, you know, we were adults and we didn't all have time to be in a band and we weren't, you know, practicing enough. And so I just said I quit and started up Bear Baiters with Chris pretty soon after that.
So just two people, it's easier to organize it, yeah.
Yeah, and the idea is, like, we have a bunch of friends who are really great musicians but don't have time to be in a band. So, like, if we can get them to be on a song for a recording or, like, to play a show with us,
yeah,
that's, like, a commitment most people can do. Because, you know, no one's making any money at it, and everyone's got adult lives.
You're saying, like, put a low target, a low
exactly.
Focus. Yeah, okay.
So if we can have someone come in and sit in on guitar for a little while,
yeah,
then great. We'll build things really open so that other people can come in and it's pretty clear what's going on and they can just sit in and play with us for however long and then go away.
Now, so there's kind of an improvisational side of this project?
Not much.
Oh,
I mean,
okay. So you guys got the tune and then you bring the people in just to, okay, feel it out and, hey, what do you think? What do you think you could come up with?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You know, you're saying you weren't a very good cello player. What makes it hard? No frets?
Oh, man. The fret is, like, the greatest invention of Western civilization.
You know, that's why Leo called his bass the P bass, right? Precision. Yeah, because it had frets.
It is. I have almost had, like, I know a luthier, and I almost had him hammer frets into my cello.
Or what about markers?
Yeah, but, you know.
It's still.
The further you get up the neck, like, the smaller the distance between the notes. So
also,
even
you
if you're only
turn your hand, because I tried stand up for a while, and you, up on the where the body is, you got to turn your fucking hands the other way.
Yep.
Man, and the muscles on the back of your hand, they better be there, or whatever it is. Man, it hurts.
Yep.
But I tell you, I think the cello has the widest range. Because it being in fifths like that, and it can get down there with the bass, and it can get up there with the violin. It's just an incredible kind of instrument.
Yeah, and it really sounds like a human voice.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's that kind of range, and it has that kind of dynamics to it, too. So that's why I really like it and started playing it.
Do you still do guitar?
Yeah, just fucking around on my own.
Okay.
You know, I haven't. If I've recorded stuff on guitar, but I kind of want Bear Baiters to just be cello.
You know about bear baiting, right?
Yep.
They had a sport where they would stick a bunch of fucking dogs on a bear. And he'd, like, choke 20 of them out, but the other 20, he'd, like, bite them to death. I mean, who would watch shit like this for fun?
The English. No, yeah. I mean, that was why I named the band that, is because I wanted to be in a band that could play... I wanted to be in a band that could do pretty music. And so it was kind of a, you know, balance it out kind of thing.
Okay. Here's another one of your bumper tunes.
for the thrill of a good radio show or spinning a hunk of vinyl from your favorite artist, but the music is really the thunder. It is pure natural form, just as much as part of the day as a summer rainstorm. I like it, no doubt. Funk and noise and various rock songs. Music that flails you and lifts you out of life. Inspiration gives you good reason to live, to really get down with something. It's the thunder of music, doing a good job blowing your mind, or giving you tomorrows of good shows to go to. Magicians are big in my life. The key to greatness, they open those doorways, leading to pure pleasure through your wonderful ears, the thunder of music, something to get into and to get down to.
What makes you a man? What makes you a man? are the things that we do. Hey, me and you. Play guitar for the rest of my life. Bring flowers home to my wife. Smoke cigars on a Saturday night. Live life till it feels right. These are the things, the things that we do. These are the things that we do. Hey, me and you.
Thank you. I do. I know that you were there. Our safety at the lost. The people paid the cost. A sample of the hate. Who knows what lies ahead or how this will be read? Your spirit is in gone. I know you hear this song. The truth is always seen, but never ever heard. You've been running so long from the things you have to face. Searching for something to believe in. To figure out what's next, sifting through the clues. We only know the hair of every aftermath. So who are we to say? We set up for their game, divide and shift the blame. A lie within a lie. Which makes you wonder why. The truth is always seen, but never ever heard. You've been running so long from the things you have to face. Searching for something to believe in.
Believe in is highest in your day. The truth is always seen.
La Propigo Show. The secret ingredient to Terry Gross's house guest, Casserole's house guest. Do not stay with her. Colin Franklis. Joe Brewer with Music's Thunder. On the positive, with Tom Herman doing a Tripod Jimmy song, Autumn Leaves, which is kind of different than the version Frank Sinatra used to cover. Because you can't copyright a title.
Yep.
Yeah, you know about that. Okay, Fast Lo-Fi from Trieste. San Ardo, What Makes You a Man? Yeah, well, the internal question. Bark, Our Lady of the Highway out of Knoxville. The Skeletons, Truth. I always thought the guys in high school band, you know, loved when ska came, because now, you know, we could do the bone and shit. Bones, bass clef. Loyalists, finally. Cason and Slug. That title just got me, man.
Yeah, well, that before we recorded that second record, my really good friend who I started the Agronauts with committed suicide.
Oh shit!
And so that is like literally what happened. We went to the coroner's office, and the coroner said, "You can keep everything from the apartment except the casing and the slug."
Oh god!
Yeah, which, you know, there's no time when that's an easy thing to hear, but right after your friend has killed himself, yeah. Like...
Well, you know, that kind of work, you know, like the lawyer, all that stuff where you learn stuff you don't really want to learn. So I get right. They compartmentalize stuff, Berlin walls in their heads or something.
Yeah.
About this bumper music, you said that they're soundtracks for movies.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are all bits of music for short films that I've done, or... And most of them didn't work for the film, so I kind of wanted to put them somewhere because I liked them. And they work as...
I like them, too.
They work as music on their own.
Yeah.
And, like, music in film sometimes really isn't that interesting, right? It's not supposed to be.
Well, I think everybody, you know, the descent of the Valkyrie when he's off standing on the beach. I mean, sometimes it does connect up.
Yes. Oh, yeah, totally. The good stuff does, but there's a lot of stuff where it's just kind of like...
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, I think in the old days, they just had a guy going at it live with a piano or organ, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's how Fats Waller got his start.
Sure. Right.
He was
even
an organist in a movie theater.
Jazz was whorehouse music, so to drown out the fuck noises.
Yep.
And, you know, well, jasmine was a strong-smelling flower to, you know, cover up the fuck smells. It's weird, the origins of things. Where can people find you on the internet, Colin?
Bandcamp.
Okay, but there's no Colin Franklis website.
Well, there's colinfranklis.com, but that's mostly about work.
But that's still good, so. Because that's yours and there's no middleman.
Yeah.
You can have and Bandcamp I love. I think they're the best web thing outside your own site that is really has respect for music people.
Yeah, they're so good.
You know, all the other things were just jive, shill fucking things to milk people, you know. And these people, I think, have got some integrity.
You know, they have a shop here in Oakland where they sell records as well.
Right on the street. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do live shows there, too.
Okay. So that's where they're headquartered?
I think it's pretty... spread out over the country because it's all on the computer, so they're not as worried about everyone coming into an office.
Sure. Look, if a younger person asked you for advice about this music racket stuff, what would you tell them?
No one in their right mind asked me for advice about anything.
Well, what's asking you?
You know, I just think so few people are going to be even a little bit, like, successful by commercial measures or even popular. But if you can get in, I mean, people who do good art are people who really get into what they're doing, and that should be the reward. Like, people who are in bands to get chicks get out of bands pretty quick.
Okay. I get what you mean. That's great advice. And, you know, when you get a new Bader Musics and also this movie soundtrack stuff, even if you ain't got a movie – please flow it to me and come back on. We'll talk about your new recordings and stuff.
Yeah, we'll do.
I really like what you're doing, Colin.
Thanks, man.
You know what I mean? It's balls out.
And I like what you do too, Mr. Watt.
I'm the most kind. People, it's been May 6, 2020, this Watt Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.